Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime. I'm your host, Walter. And just what the hell happened? I know we haven't talked in a while. You're probably saying, what the hell happened to you? Well, I'm back. Need to talk. Need to get something off my chest. Carlos Correa, a Giant? No. Arson Judge? Aaron Judge? A Giant? No. Judge a Giant for 7 minutes? Correa, a Giant for 6-7 days. It was, I don't know what the hell happened on that. But someone that does a little bit, I guess he's gonna help us break it down, is Dan Hayes. We're gonna talk to Dan Hayes of The Athletic, covers the Minnesota Twins. We've had him on the show before. He is a friend of the program, and he's gonna break it down for us. He's gonna tell us what in the hell went down between the Giants and the Carlos Correa camp. Scott Boras, he is in New York now. So we're going to dissect that. We're going to get into that. We need to vent. We need to go through it. We need to have a therapy session with certified therapist Dan Hayes, friend of the show. Dan Hayes of The Athletic covers the Minnesota Twins. We're going to talk to him next. Coming up, you're listening to Passion for the Pastime Podcast. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Passion for the Pastime Podcast with your host, Walter. That is me. And I am joined again by Dan Hayes. He has become a regular on the podcast. Haven't talked to Dan in quite some time. He is a Bay Area native, a Giants fan at heart, but he also covers the Minnesota Twins. So we have a lot to uncover. Dan, how are you doing? Merry Christmas and happy holidays, man.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, actually, as nice. A 49er fan. So, other than the weather, but yeah, I'm doing good. So, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for taking the time. I know that it's a busy time of the year. We're wrapping up all our end of year stuff, and on the busiest week that I think that we've had here in the Bay Area in a very, very long time. We had to break down the Michael Conforto signing. Big news here in the Bay Area, Dan.
Hey, you get Taylor Rogers. So you get Taylor Rogers too, and now you get the Rogers twins, and that should be fun. But hopefully, it's more than a gimmick. I imagine it is because Taylor Rogers is a pretty good pitcher. So a lot of stuff going on for you guys.
Oh yeah, it's been a busy off season. Actually, it hasn't even been a busy off season. It's been a busy week. Dan, I just got to pull back the curtain a little bit. Fill everybody in. I originally reached out to you to have a conversation of where is Carlos Correa going to go? This literally, I text you 30 minutes before it went down last week when the Giants presumably had signed Carlos Correa. Then I hit you up and he's not here. he's not in San Francisco. He is in New York. Just what a crazy turn of events. Is this like anything that you've seen in recent history or ever?
Not on this scale with the player, because obviously there's no contract that's been agreed to and then backed out of like this. I mean, you see it occasionally with players that are, coming off of injuries, stuff like that. There have been instances before where maybe a guy has a $4 million one-year contract and it gets voided because somebody finds something on the physical, that kind of thing. But to this scale, no, this is pretty crazy. And, it probably has led to a bunch of emotional swings for everybody involved, including the Correas. The teams, the fans, everything. And the Twins somehow managed to get involved yet again, one more time, in the aftermath of the Giants deal falling apart. So their fans have gone through this and reliving the trauma of losing Carlos Correa once again. And the only ones who really are excited here are the Mets and their fans, who get to see their team, you know, throw way more money at another guy and bring him in. And it's a great time to be a Met fan and have Steve Cohen as your owner.
Yeah, no, Steve Cohen has definitely changed the game, the landscape of baseball. I mean, we were making the comparison of the landscape being changed in the NBA with Joe Lacob just, you know, throwing out the checkbook out here in the Bay Area. And you kind of see that that is the trajectory of what is happening, or it is what has happened in New York. But that lineup, I mean, when you look, when you go up and down, they have to be the favorites, you know, lineup and starting rotation to win the World Series next year.
Yeah, they're loaded. I mean, it looks like a fun season ahead. I mean, this is a team that won 101 games, didn't win the division, ends up with the wild card, loses to the Padres, that stunner of a series, and their owner goes out and reacts, and their luxury tax bill right now is bigger than the payrolls of 10 teams. And it's incredible because I think Steve Cohen's going to pay like $111 million in luxury tax, and there's 10 teams with fewer or lower payrolls than that, which is absolutely wild. So it has changed the game because it allows him to get involved in the Carlos Correa negotiations the first time late based off of, you know, mutual interest. Francisco Lindor is definitely driving that train, wanted Carlos Correa there. And to convince Carlos Correa to be the third baseman, the Mets were in when the Giants went. I believe as of the Monday that this all originally went down, the Twins had $10,285 million offered. The Giants were around 12 years and $306 million offered. The Mets were at 12 years and $288 million. And then the Giants changed their offer by the Tuesday. And that really, you know, closed things out. At least we thought that it closed things out. And little did we know what would happen a week later, and one of the craziest turns of events I've seen.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know if you know this, but on KMBR we were set to have Carlos Correa actually on air at 8:30 in the morning.
It was
craziness that day.
It's crazy because everything I've read, everything was truly canceled Monday night and paused Monday night, but still a wild day planned for him on the day of the signing or the day of the introduction and then to not have it. It didn't look great from an optic standpoint. I have a lot of friends and family who've been very disappointed with everything, and understandably so. But, you know, I mean, I think there's probably more to it than we all know. And, it's been interesting uncovering some of that this week.
Yeah, and we're talking with Dan Hayes here of The Athletic, covers the Minnesota Twins right now in Chicago, hopefully staying warm, Dan. Let's talk a little bit about this because the fan base, as you know, I mean, you're a Giants fan. You grew up in the Bay Area. I work in Bay Area Sports Talk Radio, so we kind of have the heartbeat of the fan base here. There's a lot of frustration coming in because this isn't just a Carlos Correa thing, right? I mean, this goes back to losing out on Judge. This goes back to losing out on Harper. It goes back to losing out on pretty much any big-name free agent that you can think of we haven't been able to bring to the Bay Area. So the frustration level right now as we head into Christmas is at an all-time high. If you were to place blame anywhere on the organization, I mean, where would you tell fans like to look? Because it's so frustrating. We haven't heard anything. I guess yesterday Farhan had a private conversation, as reported on NBC Sports Bay Area, had a private conversation with the team personnel, the coaches, and the players. So what that conversation detailed, I mean, we don't really know. I mean, it did seem like he took a responsibility as far as what happened. But what do you tell a fan base right now that is just overly frustrated with how just not how this past week, this offseason has happened, but the last couple of years, how it's transpired?
I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. And you know, I mean, you want star power. I'd argue that having Buster Posey in office that whole time was the star power. And the Giants were able to develop their own. But it's been a while. I mean, I still remember the night that Barry Bonds signed in 1992. It was December 92. And I think I could be wrong, but I think it was the same night that Cal was playing at Arizona. And Arizona was always so good back then. In basketball, and Cal had this stunning win. Jason Jason Kidd and Lamont Murray, and it was like sort of this like epic night. Now I could be off on the timing of that, but like the fact of the matter is that it's been a while since they've landed a guy like that from the outside. And when you see the Dodgers with their star power and, you know, they're able to get Mookie Betts and you see what the Padres have done, it is frustrating, but I just, you know, knowing that they landed Correa, it seemed like it was a new page kind of turned. But, you know, things happen for a reason. And I, you know, I'm not surprised. Just having heard what I've heard that's transpired over the course of the week, you know, I don't think that we were ever going to have an entirely clear picture of what happened. But I think, you know, there's enough hints out there. And it's definitely been interesting this week for everything that's transpired because, you know, the Giants were set. They were excited. Carlos Correa is the kind of guy that you want to bring in. He's a leader. He's a guy that can take a clubhouse and get it going in the same direction. He gets everybody involved. He's intelligent. Beyond that, he's got a cannon for an arm. He's got a patient approach to the plate, power. Like, he's just a good hitter. There's so many assets to his game that make a team that much better. And so to lose him the way that this has all gone down, it's very disappointing. It's very hard to get over. And really, it's understandable. But, you know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, and you have to try and move on if you're the Giants. And I know they've started to make those moves, and they're not nearly as sexy as Carlos Correa, but there's really nothing else you can do at this point,
right?
Short of a blockbuster trade that would probably involve, like, trading Logan Webb, and you know, that would be that would probably be tough to take, I imagine. So
I don't think we need that spoken into existence right now, Dan.
Yeah, exactly.
we don't want that right now. Oh man, exactly. We're talking with Dan Hayes here, beat writer for the Minnesota Twins, just breaking down, just going through the emotions of the Giants losing out on Carlos Correa. Now, so you mentioned the Giants are making moves. They got the Rodgers twins on the same team, which, I mean, it sounded like a fairy tale a couple of years ago. Then they were in the same division when he was with the Padres, and now they're on the same team. So nice story going into the year. And, you know, they do have the Mitch Haniger. They did bring back Jock Peterson. You know, they got a couple of arms there in Ross Stripling and Sean Manaea. So, I mean, they're making moves. And then to go into just the most recent news of the morning is bringing in Michael Conforto, right? And the big question was, after this debacle, right, with Carlos Correa and Scott Boras, was there going to be a disconnect? Was there going to be, you know, a difficulty in working together, moving past this? So it's kind of encouraging, right, to see that the Giants were able to get a deal done for Michael Conforto, but he is a Boras client. So I guess my question is, moving forward, how do you think the players, future free agents, are looking at this whole situation? And does that turn them off from coming to San Francisco if it wasn't already turned off prior to that?
Well, okay, look, first of all, money is king. And so you throw the most money at someone, that's all that matters. That's really all that matters when it comes down to it. You know, I know there are some spots where you'll see a guy got offered more elsewhere. I think the Padres were giving Aaron Judge like a $400 million offer. And obviously the Yankees won that out. And the Giants were probably in similar territory on Judge. But the Yankees, if the money's right, the Yankees are always going to win that, right? I mean, it's the place he's always played. And when they show him the respect that they did with the pay, that's that. But, you know, the only thing that could potentially come out of this that would, you know, spook somebody would be, what are the medicals, like, how are the medicals going to play into this? And are my medicals clear? And that, you know, that's really going to, that's the only thing that could be a hang up, is if the medical process is difficult. We saw it, I think it was Baltimore a couple of years ago, where they had a more stringent process. And that can affect things. But honestly, when it comes down to it, paying the most money out is going to get you the player. And so I don't think that it would take much to turn around opinion with players. Maybe there's some rumors, chatter now, but the next guy that's a big free agent that gets offered a big contract by the Giants, if it's the biggest contract out there, they're going to sign him. So I think that's that when it comes down to it. And look, the fact that the Giants 2 years ago were able to – or yeah, 2 years ago were able to – no, it was last year, sorry – sign Carlos Rodon with all the questions about his medical stuff going into that. You know, I think that gives you an idea. But Carlos Rodon has had surgeries and all kinds of issues when he was with the White Sox, to the point that the White Sox didn't want to offer him a qualifying offer, 1 year, $18 million. And you saw what Rodon was able to give the Giants last year, right? Yeah. If he cleared their medical program, that gives you an idea that they're not, you know, so stringent that they can, you know, clearly this is a guy that had some issues in Chicago. And for him to come and get signed and the Giants to clear that, that lets you know that, you know, they're willing to let some stuff go. I'm just guessing on that, right, because I don't know medicals. But I mean, the situation seems pretty like interesting to me. And so the fact that they found something here, and that's what's been reported across the Associated Press and definitely different outlets, that there was a medical concern there during their physical, you know, I mean, it probably speaks to the fact that they found something that was concerning for a 13-year deal, you know, and I know that the Twins themselves were pressed pause essentially on their own pursuit of Carlos Correa when the Giants spoke up. They wanted to know what was going on and that they wouldn't keep going in the conversation with Correa and Boris until they had a better understanding of what the Giants had found, because the Twins themselves hadn't conducted a thorough physical examination of Carlos Correa since March when they'd signed him themselves. So all they wanted was to get a look at Carlos Correa's medicals again. Any team that signs a guy is going to get to conduct their own physical. That would have been the next time the Twins would have got a look at him, was if they agreed to a deal with him. When that didn't happen, it was, you know, it was lightning fast. Steve Cohen came in and sort of saved the day and upped his offer. I mean, the whole situation to me is just crazy in this way, if you break it down like this. Boris calls the Twins, and this is in the aftermath of his Giants deal breaking down, and says, you need to improve your offer, and let's go. Carlos is available again. You need to improve your offer. And the Twins basically said, well, wait, we need to get an understanding here. And before that even happened, they move on to the Mets. So it just seems like there's something more there that we will never know because of HIPAA and all that stuff. But it's tricky. And when you're talking about 13 years and $350 million, or in the Twins case, 10 years and $285, those are huge contracts that will weigh on a franchise towards the back end no matter what. And I just thought the fact that there were legitimate concerns was a little bit eye-opening, that, you know, for the Giants to back out and have this spectacular of a public failure, it speaks a little bit louder than the failure to me.
Yeah, we're talking with Dan Hayes. I mean, that's a great perspective on just a great breakdown of everything that just went down this past week with Carlos Correa. And now we pivot to next year, Dan. Shohei Ohtani, San Francisco, let's make it happen.
Yeah, that would be spectacular. I mean, that guy is one of the most entertaining, outstanding players I've ever seen. That, you know, that he's done it 2 years in a row the way he has, and I know it's been longer than 2 years in a row, but to achieve the level of excellence that he has for the last 2 years, I don't know if we'll ever see it again. I mean, like, it's just incredible what he's been able to do on both sides. You know, I think I saw the headline last night from the New York Post that he'll be the first $500 million player. Yeah. It will be. And hey, you don't have $350 million on the books if you're the Giants weighing down your ability to offer $500 million. So, but there's going to be some serious competition for that dude. Oh, and yeah. I imagine some of it's going to be wearing Dodger blue. So yeah. It should be pretty interesting these next couple of years.
Yeah, if he ends up in Dodger blue, I might just throw in the towel, man. That would be a hard pill to swallow. But let's hope that doesn't happen. Dan, really appreciate you taking the time and breaking this all down for us. We're trying to find answers. You provided it, man, and really appreciate you coming on to the show. Once again, you are one of our favorites that we have on the podcast. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you. And we'll talk soon, man.
All right, cool. Well, let's talk around the week of February 13th, celebrating a 49ers Super Bowl victory. How about that?
There we go. Book it now. Book it now. We're having that conversation, Dan, because it's going to happen. Speak it into existence, all right? I hear you.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Dan, thanks again, and you take care, man.
All right. Happy holidays.
All right, and again, that was the great Dan Hayes, beat writer for the Minnesota Twins, trying to unravel, dissect, if you will, what the hell happened with the San Francisco Giants and Carlos Correa and what that means for the future. So I hope you guys feel a little bit better about that conversation that we just had. I know I do. It's always great to talk to Dan. So we will see what the future has in store for the Giants as we close out this year. Next week, we're going to be talking with Disha Thosar. We're going to go right into the belly of the beast, the Steve Cohen Mets. We're going to talk about that because she covers the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. So we'll talk about all the players that the Giants missed out on. We'll do that next week. So I hope you guys have a great holiday season. Again, thanks to Dan Hayes for joining me on the podcast. We'll talk to Disha Thosar next week. So you guys have a good one. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all of you. And thank you again for listening every single time that I put out a podcast. I was going to say every single week, but we tailed off a little bit, but had to get something off my chest. So we will talk to you next year. We'll have a lot more content coming at you after the new year in January. We will break down everything that just went down because it is a lot to uncover. And we'll get closer and closer to spring training where we have a Mitch Haniger and Michael Conforto roaming in the outfield. So you guys have a good one. Be safe. And I will talk to you next time.